Chapter 9. Harold Keeps Another Promise. Something happened after Harold walked away from Maureen. He stopped imagining the nurses and patients waiting for him at the hospice. He could not see the end of his journey. The group were traveling more and more slowly because there were so many arguments. Maureen had said that she missed him. She wanted him home. He could not forget that. He kept finding payphones and ringing her. "I'm fine," she kept saying. "You don't want to hear about me." But he did. He wanted that so much.
"Phoning again?"
said Rich, with a smile, but not really caring. Rich said that Wilf was stealing again, and Harold worried that he might be right. He knew that the boy had the same problems as David. They kept seeing empty alcohol bottles. Rich had started killing wild animals for their food. These days, he always had blood on his t-shirt and a wild look in his eyes. He started wearing animal teeth round his neck. It worried Harold. At camp, he often left the group to stand in a field and stare at the night sky. It was the only time that he felt free and part of things. He thought of Maureen and Queenie. He remembered the past. Returning to the group to find some sleeping and others singing by the campfire, he felt frightened. What was he doing with these people? The next day, Wilf disappeared, taking Rich's knife with him.
"I told you that he was no good,"
said Rich. His eyes held Harold's over the campfire. Harold looked everywhere for the boy, but could not find him. He started sleeping badly at night again, and sometimes he did not sleep at all. Sometimes he thought of his mother. Had she ever asked herself where he was? How he was doing? He remembered her face in her small mirror when she painted on her red mouth. As Newcastle rose before them on the horizon, Harold said that he wanted to visit Hexham. He showed them the card that the businessman had given him.
"Of course I can't make you come with me," said Harold, "but I must keep my promise."
Rich asked the rest of the group for a meeting.
"I can't believe that Harold wants to do this," he said. "He's going crazy. Hexham is 20 miles in the wrong direction."
"He made a promise," said Kate, "like he made one to us."
Rich began to shout.
"Have you forgotten that Queenie is dying? I think that we should leave Harold and carry on to Berwick. We could be there in a week."
No one argued, and in the morning, Kate could see that the decisions were made. They all loved Harold, they said, but it was time to move on. They packed up their sleeping bags and looked for the old man to say goodbye, but he could not be found. Then they all left, except for Kate. She found Harold sitting by a river with the dog next to him. His head hung low, and she was shocked by how old he looked. She told him about the group.
"There was nothing that I could do," she said. Rich cried.
"It doesn't matter," Harold replied quietly. "I'm glad."
"What will you do next?" she said. "Will you go home?"
He shook his head. "I'll go to Hexham and then carry on to Berwick. What about you?"
"I'm going home. My boyfriend has phoned. He wants us to try again."
"That's good,"
Harold said.
"Please look after yourself," she said. "You're a good man, but you are tired."
Harold waited as Kate walked away. She turned a few times to wave, and he stayed in the same place.
It took him 3 more days to reach Hexham. He rang the bell of the businessman's apartment and waited all afternoon, but the man did not come. A woman came down from another flat and told him that the businessman was on holiday in Ibiza. "He's always on holiday," she said. 4 days later, Rich's group arrived at Berwick-upon-Tweed. There were photographs in the newspapers of Rich Lyon walking with his sons on both sides and others of a man in a gorilla suit. There was music and a charity dinner for the walkers, and some national newspapers wanted Rich's story. There was talk of a film. TV cameras filmed Rich and the others arriving at the hospice with flowers, although Queenie was unable to receive them.
"Those people didn't even know Queenie," said Maureen, watching it. "It makes me so angry. Why couldn't they wait for Harold? Rich Lyon didn't walk for Queenie. He walked to show how amazing he was and to get his children back."
"Maybe Rich Lyon was also on a journey," said Rex. "Just a different one."
Harold was glad to be alone again. He and the dog walked together and there was no arguing. They stopped when they were tired and started again when they were rested. They avoided the towns so that no one would recognize Harold. He did not want to meet any more strangers. They got up early and walked until dark. He felt whole again. He was happiest like this and open to the thoughts and memories that played through his mind. But then strong winds came from west to north, bringing rain. It was too cold to sleep. He lay stiff inside his sleeping bag, watching clouds move across the moon. The dog lay beside him. It was so thin that its bones showed under its skin. He remembered his son's small body being carried in the man's strong arms that day at Bantham when David nearly drowned. Then Harold remembered how he used to pull David upstairs before he was sick again. Did he try to hurt himself to be different from his ordinary father? Harold shivered in his sleeping bag. He looked out but saw no one. He was alone, without Maureen, Queenie, or David. He could hear the cries of wild animals killing other wild animals. He hoped that he would feel better once he started walking again, but he did not. He had started to realize that, with or without him, the moon and the wind always went on. The land always lay ahead until it reached the sea. People kept dying. It did not matter if Harold walked or shivered or stayed at home. He had failed at being a husband, father, and friend. He had failed at being a son. He had failed Queenie, and his parents did not want him. He had passed through life and made no mark on it. He meant nothing. One morning, Harold was crossing the A696 when he realized that the dog had gone. He walked back the way he had come, but could not see it anywhere. He tried to remember where he had last seen it. It must be hours since they had shared a sandwich on the side of the road, or was it days? He started walking back towards Hexham. He found the dog sitting at a bus stop next to a young girl. It dropped a stone at her feet.
"Don't throw the stone,"
thought Harold, but she did, and the dog brought it back. She put a hand on its head. Then the bus came, and she got on it, followed by the dog. Harold watched the bus drive away with the girl and the dog on it. The dog had made its own choice, he decided. It had chosen to walk with Harold for a bit, and then with the young girl. Life was like that. But by losing his friend, Harold felt that he had lost some of his skin. He was afraid of what would come next. He could not take much more. The hours became days, and he could not remember how one day was different from another. He began to make mistakes. He left early in the mornings and walked towards the light. He did not care if it was the right direction for Beric. He argued with his compass when it pointed south, sure that it was broken or lying to him. Without rest or hope, other things fell away. His body was wrecked and he had no more energy. He could not remember David's face. When he tried to see it, he could only see Queenie. He forgot the time or whether he had eaten. He stopped caring about what he saw or the names of things. He looked at the hills on the horizon, the rocks, the grey houses. He walked under the hot sun, the pouring rain, and he did not know how far he had come. Late one night, he rang Maureen from a phone box. "I can't do it," he said. "I can't finish."
"Harold, where are you?"
He looked through the glass. Traffic rushed past. There were lights and people hurrying home.
"I don't know," he said. "I think that I might be in a place called Woola. Something like that. I maybe noticed a sign."
He imagined her face, the way her mouth opened and shut when she was thinking.
"I want to come home, Maureen."
"You were right. I can't do it."
"Harold, give me half an hour. Can you phone me back then?"
He nodded. He tried to walk the streets. There were people outside a fish and chip shop and a man being sick on the side of the road. The hills rose huge against the night sky. He phoned Maureen again.
"Rex is here," she said. "We've made a few calls. There's a hotel in Woola called the Black Swan. It looks nice. I've booked you a room, Harold."
"But I have no money, and I must look terrible."
"I paid over the phone by card," she said, "and it doesn't matter how you look."
"When will you be here?" he asked. "Will Rex come too?" He heard Maureen breathe in, and then her voice came fast.
"Queenie is still alive, Harold. You asked her to wait, and she is waiting. Keep walking. We've looked at the weather for tomorrow, and it's going to be sunny. You'll feel better. It's only 16 more miles to Beric. You can do it, Harold. Remember to stay on the B6525.
He did not know what to say after that, so he put down the phone. Maybe it was the shock of being inside a room again and lying on clean sheets, but that night, Harold began to cry. Memories rushed through his mind of Martina, of the cyclist woman with her cut arms, and Wilf and Kate. He thought of all those people who only wanted to be happy. He woke crying and cried all day as he walked. Maureen received a postcard with a picture of the Cheviot Hills. The message read, "Weather good. H. Kiss." The card started coming every day with the shortest of messages. "Rain. Not good. Walking. I miss you." Sometimes he drew pictures. Sometimes there was nothing on them. He did not ring again. She waited by the phone every night, angry with herself that she had let him go when he needed her help. But she and Rex had talked about it. If Harold stopped his walk when he was so close to arriving,
he would regret it for the rest of his life. Early July had brought heavy winds and rain. Harold's postcards came from strange places, like Eccles, which was too far west of Berwick. Every day, Maureen decided to ring the police, only to change her mind. He must surely arrive in Berwick soon. More than anything, Maureen wanted Harold home.